of you? You have a statement that guides you? Some of you do. Yeah.
Kindness.
Some of you are looking like, maybe that's a good idea. Should I have one? Yes, I think you should, in fact. So last week we had the White Stone Ceremony, which is really a nice kickoff to that, because of the White Stone, we get a word that guides us through the year, and we can remember a word. That's really helpful. And if you didn't get to be a part of that last week, don't worry, because the messages do not get destroyed within 5 seconds. They're online for posterity. So you can go to last week's message and follow along and be guided through the White Stone Ceremony. All you need is a white stone and a pen to write it on. So those little thin felt tip ones really work well. So anyway, you can catch up with us and have your white stone, your talisman for the year. And I want to encourage you to flush that out a little bit more into a full statement that can be your mission statement. Maybe it's from now on. Maybe it's for right now. You know, who's telling? Spirit will tell you accordingly. Janet, would you mind playing a little bit? Because I'd like to offer everybody an opportunity to just take a moment and dip in and see if there's something that the divine wants to reveal to you right now. So if you want to close your eyes, and let's just take a moment to move into our hearts. And just to see, maybe we'll call forth that word, if we already have a white stone word that we're working with this year. If more words want to come, perhaps even a full statement. What is Spirit calling you into right now to embody as your mission, your affirmation? Somebody was to ask you in one sentence, why are you here? What would you say? So you may get a few words and you may get a full sentence or two. Just allow that to be revealed now. And you can always come back later for more. If something has come, I invite you to write it down, maybe on your bulletin or if you have notes with you, to return to it, allow it to flush out a little bit further, perhaps. You know, our affirmations are always put in the present tense for a reason. So it's a claiming as if it's already done. So we don't need words like may or will or maybe or someday or if or possible. We just go ahead and make it so. So just giving thanks to Spirit in your own way and coming back into this space. Perhaps we've begun something that will continue for you as you flush out a full personal mission statement for yourself. My word this year is essence, and so this is my working personal mission statement. My divine essence is revealed. I live, breathe, relate, and create in divine flow. So you want something that when you read it for yourself inspires you. It feels like, yes, that's it. That's what I'm about. So when you hit upon that, that could be the one for you. So then you have your word and you have your mission in your heart. And that can be another piece that guides you through this year and beyond. So last year here at Unity, we created our new identity statements. We had, and you just spoke them all with Ron leading you a little bit ago. So we have a vision statement that is a vision for our world. And our mission statement is really who we've come here to be. It's why do we exist as a community? Why are we even here? So that's one that's really important for us as a community to get individually and to see, I think you'll find, as if you choose to accept the mission of writing your own personal mission statement, that you probably will see that there'll be some alignment for you between what your personal statement is and what Unity's mission statement is. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel a home here. You wouldn't feel a sense of resonance here. So there's going to be some alignment, probably, maybe a lot of alignment. We'll see how it fleshes out for everyone. So I want to really today just focus on our mission, even though the whole package is important, our vision for the world and our core values. I want to just really focus in on our mission and get us all as a community looking at how do we connect with this? How do we breathe life into this? You know, a lot of times, organizations will go through a planning process and they'll come up with these statements and then they sit in somebody's file cabinet. And it's really not like, it's just sort of a flat thing, you know, a flat exercise, pretty words on a page. That's not our intention here. Our intention here is that this mission guides us in all that we do. It's a rudder, it's a North Star for us. And same idea for your personal mission statement, that it becomes a North Star for you, a focal point, something that helps you to make decisions and to move in a rhythm according to it. So I really want to look at our mission statement together. Let's bring it up again and remind ourselves once again of what it is. We are a loving, inclusive community, expanding and living our divinity in sacred service for all. So as we take a look at this and we think about what the purpose is of a mission statement and how it guides us, one thing that comes to mind is how the monarch butterfly seems to innately know its mission. You know how you probably know how monarch butterflies will migrate 4 generations across an entire continent. How is it that the next generation knows, because we also know the process of a butterfly, right? So when mama makes her transition, baby is not fully a butterfly for another month. How does the baby know where to go? But they do. Time and time and time again, they go down that same migration path that their ancestors went down. The tribe knows who they are. The tribe knows where they're going, and they move in a rhythm according to that map. And that map is, for us, like this. It's not just a statement. It's a living, breathing mission. It's something to put our arms around, to know by heart, like the monarch butterfly knows by heart where to go. Not by rote memory, that's not what I mean by heart, but to know it in our hearts, to feel it in our hearts, to be it. In our own ways, of course, because we're all unique expressions of the divine, right? So what sacred service means to me will be different than what it means to Bob or to Kathy or, you know, and so each of us will have our own spin on what it means to us, but all of us will have a sense of where we're headed. So I really want to spend some time today looking at we kind of have it in sort of 3 verses, if you will, or 3 parts intentionally. So our whole community came together and did a lot of work together, and then a team sort of did the wordsmithing of calling all of that feedback into these 3 sections. The first is a description of who we are. So we had to decide, who are we? We had to hone it down to who are we really? What's the very essence of who we are as a community? And we came up with, we're really a loving community, probably above all else, and we are an inclusive community. So we are a loving, inclusive community is the first section. So what does that mean? Well, loving can mean a lot of things, right? At the heart of love, one of the ways that a community shows its love, expresses its love, is through care. I remember 2 years ago, Annie Love, I'm not kidding, that is her last name, came to me and said, you know, I think we're doing pretty well at caring for our wider community. We have a lot of service projects, and we're doing pretty well in sort of jump-starting that and expanding that out into the community. She said, I think we have a missing gap here where we're not caring for each other all that well, that there are people who need support at times, and we really need something to support them. And so Annie launched the Care Network that now has 70 members from Unity as a part of it. And we have been able to deliver meals to people in our congregation who have a temporary need, like after surgery, or maybe who need some rides to medical appointments. And it's been a beautiful way to care for our community, a beautiful expression of how we are a loving community. So thank you, Annie, for founding that. And there's also our men's group. Wow, how they care for each other, truly as brothers. You know, I first learn about challenges that happen amongst the men that are part of our men's group from the men's group because they know what's going on in each other's lives and they're there for each other. They play together, they socialize together, they bond together, and they are truly a brotherhood for Unity. So really beautiful group of men who support each other. And one example of that recently is one of our members, Steve McCoy, went through a very challenging bout with cancer. And the men were there beside him all through that, as were some of the women, by the way. It wasn't just men who were supporting him. And then Steve did make his transition recently. And the men are still, there's a couple of men who are taking care of his affairs now afterwards because family didn't want to be involved. So thank you to our men's group who really bring forth that depth of care for one another as well. So if you're part of the men's group, let's say thank you to you. And if you're a man and you're thinking, hey, that sounds pretty good, you can see Mike afterwards. So we care by this kind of care that I've been speaking about. We love by caring in this way, but we also love by calling each other up higher, don't we? So our prayer team, our prayer chaplains as well, we both care through those prayers and we also call each other up higher through the principle-based prayers that really see the very essence and the truth of who we are. So that's another way of loving, is really standing in principle and seeing the truth in one another. It's that fiercer, tougher kind of love, and it's that principle-based kind of love that says, I see the divine in you, and I'm going to pull it forth, or call it forth, or speak the truth to you. And that's why after we say statements of truth, we say, and so it is, because it's another way of affirming that this is the truth, or so be it. It's a literal translation of amen. You know, so it's literally what it means is to really say, this is the truth about you. You are divine. You are loving. You are healthy and whole and well. And so it is. It's the truth. So that's another way, I think, that we love one another. Mark Nepo, if you remember, wrote the book More Together Than Alone. We studied it all through the fall last year in study groups and on Sundays. And he says this, that tending to the life around us can invoke an entrainment of hearts. So that's really what's happening in a community, that there is an entrainment of hearts. Such ways of tending to life include caring, truth-telling, listening, entering silence, and storytelling. Embodying these aspects of being invoke the common rhythm between us. And we then feel a bond of relationship, louder and stronger, deeper and more far-reaching than we would ever singularly feel. So all of the goodness gets exponentially raised when we are part of a community, when we have a sense of belonging and connection with community, such as this one. And starting the new year is a good time to take stock, right? How am I loving? How am I loving myself? How am I loving those around me in my family or in my home? How am I loving my coworkers? How am I doing with loving the world around me? And so as we ask ourselves those questions, we can discard the things that aren't working so well, that don't feel so loving, and we can step further into that which is love in its full essence. We are loving an inclusive community. What does it mean to be inclusive? Well, of course, it means that all are welcome here, but it's not just sort of a surface platitude that says all are welcome here. We really mean we celebrate inclusivity and therefore diversity. We celebrate the richness that diversity brings us. We want that diversity because we know as the multifaceted, you know, gem of society is reflected by all of us in here, our faces, our backgrounds, our orientations, our desires, our plans, our intentions, all those things bring forth this beautiful diversity of humanity right here. And we celebrate, too, the inclusivity of all life as well. So it's one thing to say, yeah, I feel inclusive, we're welcoming, and then you really step into that. It's pretty deep, inclusivity, really. Buttons get pushed when you really embody what inclusivity is all about. Our privilege will get pushed around. Our sense of prejudice might come up, you know? And that's part of being a spiritual community, to be willing to be with that. We said we signed up for transformation. We signed up for the fires of transformation when we said, I'm stepping on the spiritual path. So sometimes it might seem we're just here to, as they say, comfort the afflicted, but we're also here to afflict the comfortable. So this afternoon or later today, there's an opportunity. It's called WOW, Welcoming, what is it called? Witness Our Welcome. There's a flyer like this on the welcome table. And I'll be a part of it, as will other spiritual leaders and interfaith folks, and as will the whole community. And it's an invitation for LGBTQ individuals and allies of the community to be there to really celebrate the idea that all are truly welcome in our centers. And so Unity certainly is one of those centers, so I wanted to be sure we had that kind of presence and representation there. And I hope you'll join me. It's at 6:30 at the Unitarian Church, if you're interested in that. And amongst the group there will be migrant transgender people who have been persecuted in their own countries and have found, I trust and affirm, a safe haven in the Bay Area, and may also be told and shared and welcomed into the congregations around the Bay Area, including ours. So this is what it means to be inclusive. It's like all those places, and you'll find you know what your areas are of, yeah, everybody's welcome, absolutely, I'll embrace everybody, except I hope they don't come, you know? Well, that's where our work is, right? So wherever that except is, that's that sort of, that edge that I'm talking about. And so we, in the second part of our mission statement, so the first part, we are a loving, inclusive community. The second part is really the essence of what we are about, because it's based in our teachings and our principle. And it calls forth specifically our second principle in Unity, which is that beautiful autumn-colored painting over there, the I Am, the idea that we are divine in truth, that we are a part of God. In fact, we are God in expression. We are the essence of that. And so we are expanding and living our divinity. So every day there's an opportunity to evolve a little further into this truth, to know a little bit more of ourselves as divine, to see that in one another, to behold the Christ or the divine in each other. It's what, you know, namaste means. It's what aloha means. It's what we mean when we say, you are welcome home. You know, when somebody says, it feels like home here, and we say, welcome home, it carries all of that with it, all that kind of energy that says, truly, this is a place where we see you and we revel in and celebrate that true divinity that we are. So it's an ever-evolving process for us, expanding and then living our divinity, really being that, putting that into action, embodying that in whatever ways we possibly can do that. We touch that quiet presence and the silence together. And that is that place where we come from the duality of the world into the oneness once again. And then we come forth from that place and we shine that light out. So it's like we experience the love and we share it in the world, right? We experience the love and we share it in the world. And we keep repeating that process. It just becomes such a second nature or first nature. It's just, it is who we are in the world. And so that's our work, to keep weaving that kind of moments of complete connection with spirit into our day. You know, even if it's just a minute here and there of a pause and a resting and a knowing and a feeling of the love that is there, the love that is the truth of who we are, that can shift everything, as we all know how prayer can shift things. Can join us at noon every weekday to come, Monday through Thursday anyway, to come and join us for a little bit of time in prayer if you'd like some community prayer. So this is key, to rest in love, to shine our divine light in that middle section of our mission. And the final section is in sacred service for all. So I think over the years, some of us have interpreted the spiritual path as it's all about getting enlightened, right? The goodies are the nirvana, the bliss, the experience of being completely enlightened. Then what? You know? Somebody said after the enlightenment, the laundry. No, that's a... Is that Jack Kornfield? I'm looking at Danae because I know she's a... Yeah, right. Anyway, but there is that sense of, right, everyday embodiment. And what does that look like? You know, when we get to those points or we have those experiences of touching the divine, it is so natural for us to want to share it. You know, sacred service is just like you wouldn't want to and you couldn't stop it from happening because it is a sharing in whatever ways that looks for you. It might be a hug and a smile, or it might be getting out in the front lines of some kind of activist movement, you know, and we don't always know because we'll just get guided, right? And if we just say yes and jump on for the ride, oh, what fun it will be. A lot of us kind of do this, you know, like, or no. but that opportunity, you know when you say yes, what happens for you. So the old way might have looked like, let's just, you know, get to nirvana and then experience nirvana or bliss or enlightenment, whatever word you want to use, and then we'll just like sort of swim in the divine and live in the heavenly realms, you know. And then we put our feet on the ground and we say, yeah, but why would we do it? That's why in sacred service for all. Because why are we here to expand and live our divinity? So we can share it, so we can heal, so that we can transform, so that we can help vision that world that we vision by doing it, by putting our actions and our words into relationship, into the world, into the possibilities that are awaiting us, the probabilities that are just waiting for us to say yes, each of us to say yes in our own way, to step in and to serve in our own way. That's sacred service for all, and for all meaning all life, all forms of life, in whatever ways feel right and resonant with you, line up with your own personal mission statement. Rats do it, and so can we. Neurobiologist Peggy Mason actually conducted an experiment with rats that had really surprising results. Now, we know that animals are very food motivated, right? I mean, if you have a pet, you probably know how food motivated most pets are. And these rats that were studied, some of them were allowed to be free and to roam freely, and some were in cages. And what they found was that the study concluded that rats often would choose to free each other over food. So the free rats would hear the distress calls of the rats that were in cages, and they're so smart, they would figure out how to open the cage and free the rat that was captive. And if they were given a small hoard of chocolate chips, they would usually save at least one for the captive rat to have when it was freed. Lessons from rats for humanity. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? You know, and we're busy poisoning them, you know, some of us. So it's just mind-blowing when we look at what the divine pattern of the universe offers us, what is out there in the diversity and the divinity of all life, down to the tiniest of insects. And we go, wow, where did we go wrong? You know, sometimes this intelligence of ours is troublesome, right? These minds of ours get us in trouble. And if instead we could just go back to our natural rhythms, to follow the natural rhythm, it's neurobiologically wired in us to be empathetic, to be of service to our fellow people, in our case, to free them. And to save them some of our treats. It's how we've come in, all of us, all creatures. And so let us remember, you know, this is the year of the rat in Chinese New Year. So we might be reminded all year long of this experiment. And how we can be better. I see images of rats on everybody's altars, and truly, as I look out though amongst this community, I am so overwhelmed by what it really means to be of service. I mean, I think about the people in this room who plan events, who teach classes, who make music, who offer their art, who run the sound system or the videos or the slides, who come up and facilitate the service, or who pray for us and hold the highest and best for us. People like Dimitri yesterday, who in an emergency before a party came over with pneumonia and replaced the faucet. You know, there's just that kind of service here. And it just goes on and on and on, the copying, the stapling, the stamping, the, you know, the things you don't see behind the scenes, it's just so beautiful. We have such an amazing community of service. We already are living our mission, and it is only for more of us to gather into the mission and all of us to deepen in that, to really get it in our DNA like the monarch butterfly. I know where to go because I have this vision statement. I am part of a loving and inclusive community that will always support me in my mission. I am on this path where I'm expanding and living my divinity. That's what I'm here to do. When you're down in the dumps, remember that, and you will begin to stand tall again, because you have a mission and you have a whole community behind you. And I'm doing it, why? Because I'm in sacred service for all life. I'm in sacred service for all. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you all of you who serve in so many amazing ways here. I couldn't even begin to name them all. And if you're starting to feel like, I want to get involved in some way, I want to serve in some way, just ask. We've got lots of ways for you to be involved, to share your talents with joy. Not as a burden like, oh, we need help here, but more as like, this is my passion, and this is something I'd like to bring. This is something I'd like to expand upon and share and try out or experiment. We're open to all of that. So when we have been given so abundantly to, we just want to give, don't we? And it's important to remember, too, that as Punani Burgess said, what is a bee without a hive? That we have found our hive, so let's get busy. So as we close out today, I want to just help us own this mission statement by speaking it in a personalized way. And so let's say this together in a way from our own voice that we're really owning this together. I am loving and inclusive, expanding and living my divinity in sacred service for all. Feels good. Bless you.